today as we come to the table.
Holy One of Israel says this, in returning, that is to me, repenting, and rest, that is resting in me rather than the world, you shall be saved. Not just spiritually, but even physically and what was going on in their nation. Notice this, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. If you just return to me, you would have rest, you would have confidence, you would have assurance, you wouldn't be worried about the store of food you have in your garage, or if you have water, or if there's gonna be gas or generators, or the power's gonna go down, or if there's gonna be another mask mandate or lockdown, or they said, you wouldn't worry about any of that. You would have quiet and rest and peace if you would just return to me.
Ever notice how when your to-do list is overflowing, your brain just kind of hits the pause button? It's like a little mental vacation, isn't it? When you finally get home, you feel completely drained and a bit fed up. Yet, when you drift off to sleep at night, you might find that you wake up with a burst of fresh thoughts and creative ideas. Finding refuge in God feels quite similar. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark shares some insights on how God can bring you rest and rejuvenation. With Jesus by your side, you'll find a fresh strength to tackle your challenges head on. Regardless of the hardships the enemy tosses in your direction, victory will be yours. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
You know, it's interesting, after walking with the Lord this many years, sometimes you forget about what God has set you free from. And many of you guys are in that same place. You don't always think about it. But when I think about it, I think about, wow, you know, we're talking about some things today. You're thinking about what it was like in the world before, and just so glad you're rescued and out of it. And I just, when that happens, I start thinking, why would I want to go back to, if Satan throws temptations my way, you know, and sometimes temptations will be thrown my way about, you know, the things of the past or whatever. And the thought that pops in my mind is, okay, what was the result the first time? Why do I want to go back and do all that again? You know, I didn't enjoy vomiting the first time. I don't want to vomit now. You know, I didn't enjoy feeling sick every day. Why would I want to feel sick every day now? That's happening well enough as I get older. So I don't have to go back for that, right? Why do I want to go back and just my life fall apart and get in trouble, you know, and all these things that are going to happen? Why would I do that? He says, you're going right back into that same thing. And I find it interesting. He calls them fiery flying serpents. Nobody really addresses that. Nobody really has a good explanation for that. I know they were fiery serpents because of the bite that they had, but the flying part's pretty wild. I don't think necessarily that the snakes had wings and were flying around them. So I don't know. It could have been the speed with which the serpent moved. It also could be something as an indication of the demonic realm behind these snakes that would be motivated as they rebel against God to bite them. Even as they were rebelling against God in the wilderness and God stirred, maybe the demonic realm, God allowed the demonic realm to stir them to bite them. Either way, they'll carry riches on their backs and treasures in the humps of their camels to, again, Egypt, who won't profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore, I've called her Rahab Hemshebet. Now, Rahab is another name for Egypt. Rahab, he calls Egypt. But Hemshebet means sits idly. Or we would say, does nothing. In other words, I'm going to send you down to Egypt. I've called her Egypt, who does nothing. So you're running down to Egypt, who does nothing. She's just sitting there. She can't help you. Why are you running to Egypt that can't help you? Don't run to Egypt. You already saw what Egypt did to you in your history in the past. Don't go back to the past. You know, it's time to move forward in Christ. Again, that's why the Bible says we're to move on and upward in Christ, to the upward call in Jesus Christ, not looking back, not putting our hand to the plow and then turning away. And so he says, now go and write it before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll that it may be for a time to come forever and ever that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who, notice this, who will not hear the law of the Lord, not children who can't. And that always jumps out to me every time I come to that. He's not saying they can't hear it. He's saying they won't. I'm trying to speak to them. And maybe God's trying to speak to you. And rather than listening, you just won't. I'm just not going to listen. I hear him trying, but I'm not going to listen. Don't be that rebellious, you know, person. They, well, come on, Mark, if people are here at church, they're not doing that. Don't kid yourself. Listen, God draws the believer and the unbeliever to church. And sometimes, obviously, the believer is living in rebellion to God, or rather, the unbeliever is living in rebellion to God. But oftentimes, believers are living in rebellion to God as well. And it doesn't mean they're not committing adultery or getting drunk or doing drugs or any of that. It just means maybe not being obedient to what God has called them to do. And so if God is really working on your heart and saying, you know what, you need to not be rebellious. Don't, you know, listen to his voice. Heed the voice of the Lord. Think about it. How many times have things happened over the years, if you've walked with the Lord any length of time, and God has given you a little bit of a warning saying, you really shouldn't go there, and you did it anyway. What was the result? If you look back, and you know, I know God told me not to go there tonight, or to do this, or to be with that person, or whatever the case might be, something that you didn't want to happen happened, and you look back and go, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I pay attention to the Lord? God, he speaks to us, and it's not that we can't hear, it's oftentimes we just won't. I don't want to hear it right now. I'm going to do what I want. I don't care. I'll ask forgiveness tomorrow. The problem with that is that the damage is already done. The consequences have already kicked into gear. And if you do that long enough, there'll come a point where you won't want to repent. You know, people that think I'll just go sin and God has to forgive me, air quotes, right? God doesn't have to do anything. God, by his grace, forgives us. He didn't have to do anything. And if we have the mindset, I'll just go and sin, then that's forgiveness, sin, that's forgiveness, sin, that's forgiveness, you know, then the problem is your heart goes harder and harder and harder. And at some point, why is forgiveness? I don't really care anymore. You think, oh, I could never get there. Yes, we can get there. And we see people get there. You know, again, I hear these things about, you know, people that if they're really loving the Lord, they can't walk away. There was a pastor of 40-some years, fruit in his life of knowing God, following God, leading people to Christ. He just said, I no longer believe in God. I'm turning away. Now, there's some that'll say, well, he never knew God. Really? Tell that to all the people who led to Christ. Tell that to all the Bible studies that changed people's lives. Tell that to people that saw his life change when he gave his life to the Lord. And I'm not going to try to get sidetracked in a big theological argument, but the reality is we can choose to turn away and we can harden our heart. But Mark, how can you see God in his glory and rebel against that? Ask the fallen angels. They did it and they got kicked out. So you can have all the arguments you want back and forth theologically. Here's what I'm going to choose to do. What Pastor Chuck used to always tell us. Look, just abide and it will never be an issue. Just abide. You never have to have the discussions about whether you can walk away or whether you can't walk away. That's a non-issue. You don't have to discuss it. Don't need to fight about it. Don't need to take a seminary class on it. Just abide. It's a non-issue. Now, if you're not abiding, it becomes an issue. And at that point, I think a good, healthy fear of God is not that bad of a thing. Maybe I need to get my act together here because I don't want any fiery flying serpents coming after me, that's for sure. So some pretty heavy stuff he says. And notice what he says here. Not only will they not hear, listen to what they say to the pastors. By the way, a pastor was called in that day a seer because they would see. God would show the prophets. They could see prophetically. So they were seers, all right? That's another name for a prophet. Notice what he says. They say in the nation of Israel to the seers, the prophets, we'd say the pastors today, don't see. Stop seeing. And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Stop teaching the Bible. We don't want to hear what it says. As a matter of fact, we may pass laws that if you teach certain things, we're going to put you in jail for it because we don't want to hear it. So stop. We can't stop. We can't stop. We have to continue to teach the word of God. And so when I see this, I told you there's a lot of parallels to what's going on here in Israel and Isaiah's prophecy against them. Guys, we're seeing a lot of this stuff happening in our own nation and around the world, aren't we? It's exactly what we're seeing. And that is, they're saying, we don't want to hear it. Don't tell us about, you know, God created this way and God created, you know, that way and whatever. Don't even say that. We don't want to hear it. And so that's what they're saying in that time. Same thing that Isaiah is facing. Instead, look at this. Speak to us smooth things, right? And prophesy deceits, you know? God loves you no matter what you do. There's nothing you can do to not go to heaven. And he's going to accept everybody. Okay, that's not true. I want to make sure everybody understands that. I'm being sarcastic. That's what smooth things are. Smooth things today would be this. It doesn't really matter. Look, leave everybody alone when it comes to any issues of, don't even bring up issues that are in the culture today that go against God's word. Don't even bring them up. Just talk about things that bring, you know, make everybody happy and you'll be fine. The true man of God or woman of God can't do that. We're commanded by God to speak the truth in love. Why? So that mankind can be saved. Mankind is born condemned, the Bible says. We're sent here on a mission from heaven. We're just here for a little while. We build our tent, we call it the home. We live here, and we don't want our tent pegs to go too deep. And yet oftentimes we get so wrapped up in this world, don't we? There's nothing wrong in being wise. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we need to make sure that we understand we're just visitors. This is a mission trip. You go on a mission trip, and you know what it feels like when you get to go home, how good that feels? Those of you that have been on a mission trip, especially if you've gone somewhere that it's really, really hard. Let's say you got there, and like I remember one trip I went on, it started off, you get there, your luggage doesn't make it, right? You know, and everybody there started giving me their clothes to wear or whatever. You know, my verse that week was, you know, I was naked and you clothed me. That was my verse that week. And then things happen where, you know, they have no hot water. Like, you know, oh, poor us. But we're used to that, right? And so you're taking cold showers. You know, you're borrowing other people's clothes. It's hot. And, you know, there's all kinds of insects and bug bites and all these things that goes on. The car breaks down. The generator's not working. All these things. And you're just having this horrible time in that sense, so to speak. And you get home. You're like, oh, this is so great. When you get home, that's like you're in the middle of your mission trip. You're not home yet. In other words, that's not even a good example, but here's my point. When we get to be in the kingdom, it's going to be like going home from a miserable, very difficult mission trip. You follow me? That's when we're going to be home. We're in a mission trip perpetually now. And so when the generator goes out, when the car breaks down, when we lose our job, when our things go wrong or whatever, that's simply, we're living in a world where these things happen. And God says, no, on this mission trip, every day I want you to do your best to seek me and to share me with other people. And one day you'll get to come home. And it's going to be a great day when we get to come home. But either way, he says to them, we don't want to hear, you know, the truth about God's word. Just deceive us. Tell us things we want to hear. Get out of the way. And of course, Jesus said he was the way. So don't walk the way of Jesus. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. We don't, just anything else. There was some church up north and they had a whole series on the gospel according to Dolly Parton. I'm not joking. And they played her songs, and they were like, you know, and they're like, see how this applies to, you know, it could be whatever, you know, hard candy Christmas, things are hard. And so, you know, we need to have whatever the case might be. And I'm thinking, well, you know, they've got the Dalai Lama, we've got the Dolly Parton. So either way, but, you know, it's amazing what a lot of churches do. They're not teaching the word. And people like that. They can go to church and hear some popular Dolly song and then get encouraged and whatever, but their sin's never addressed. Their lives are never addressed. Tragic. It's tragic. It can be soul condemning is what it can be, if not, you know, turn from it. But he says this, therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word, that is my word, and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore, this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly and in an instant. You ever seen something that you know is just about to go, you know? You can see it's about to break. Maybe it's a wall, it's a thing, whatever the case might be. He's saying, that's what it's like with you. The wall's about to break. It's being held together, but any moment, boom, it's going to be done. At any moment. Somebody was sharing with me about a Christian camp, a Christian school or whatever, and there was some old dam that was up above it. Nobody, I guess, was watching it or knowing that it was getting weak or whatever. And everybody's just living normal, thinking everything's fine. And all of a sudden it broke and killed like 20 or 30 people as it swept down through the school there. And all these kids and everybody that was just dead from this, it happened like that. That's a picture of what he's talking about. It seems like everything's okay. The dam's never going to break. There'll never be judgment. Life is going to keep going on like it always has. And God says, there's going to come a day where suddenly I'm going to say, that's it. It'll be for us individually that way. It'll be for us nationally that way. It'll be for the world that way. And so that's our future. The key is we need to be ready. You know, if the dam breaks and it's that moment, it's our time, let's be ready. And so he said, the breaking comes in an instant. And he shall break it like the breaking of a potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water from the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. And he says, look, here's your answer. Now, I'm telling you, you won't listen. You're in rebellion, but I'm going to tell you how you can be healed right now. And this is what's so frustrating to me. Again, you guys have heard me say this when I think about our nation. Our nation could be healed overnight. Literally, I believe our economy, I believe the gas prices, I believe all of it. I'm not saying that tomorrow could just all everything, whatever. I'm saying there could be a drastic turning where immediately all these things would begin to be healed if we turned as a nation to God. That's the promise of God's word. He says, any people that repent and just turn to me as a nation or individually or as a family, it goes on all different levels. God says, I will come in and I will bring healing. Listen to what he says here. Here's your answer. Holy One of Israel says this, in returning, that is to me, repenting, and rest, that is resting in me rather than the world, you shall be saved. Not just spiritually, but even physically and what was going on in their nation. Notice this, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. If you just return to me, you would have rest, you would have confidence, you would have assurance, you wouldn't be worried about the store of food you have in your garage, or if you have water, if there's gonna be gas or generators, or the power's gonna go down, or if there's gonna be another mask mandate or lockdown, or they said, you wouldn't worry about any of that. You would have quiet and rest and peace if you would just return to me. And again, I wanna say to us, I know that as believers, you know, the majority of us are probably walking with the Lord. We all have our battles we battle with. But if you're here tonight and you're not walking with God and God is calling you back and your life is in turmoil, everything's turmoil. God says, here's the answer. If you'll just listen, remember they would not hear. He says, if you'll just listen and do it, you'll have peace. You'll have rest. You'll have quiet. And it's, Lord, forgive me. I'm going to stop doing that. I'm turning away from that. I'm coming back to you, Lord. And so that's the whole idea he's saying to the nation. But notice again, he says, but you would not. And he said, no, for we will flee on horses. In other words, we're going to take care of ourselves. We don't need to go and ask God to help us. We're going to flee and run on horses. Therefore, he says, you shall flee. All right. And then he said, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore, those who pursue you, they'll be swift. In other words, you think you're going to get out of an escape? Nope, you're not. I'll block you in and I'll send faster judgment than you can outrun. You know, it's interesting when you read in Deuteronomy, God says, if you obey me, I will send blessings your way. And it literally gives a picture there in the Hebrew language of the blessing chasing you and running you down and catching you. You think about the kid running and giggling, you know, the dad or mom's behind him and they're giggling, trying to get away. Oh! And they know it's gonna be great, but it's fun to run, right? And you grab them and they giggle and you both hug and giggle together. That's the picture that's given in the Hebrew of God says, if you'll obey me, I'll do that in your life with blessings. Isn't that sweet? And then he goes right after this. He says, however, in the last part of that chapter, he says, if you don't repent and you don't walk in my ways, he said, then the curses are going to chase you down and catch you. And then it's the one you really want to get away from in that dream that you can't, and they get you, right? Or your feet, your legs are like 1,000,000 pounds or whatever, you know, and you're trying to run. He says, they're going to overtake you. It's not hard, guys. It really isn't hard. What's hard is the decision to obey. But it's not hard to live a life of joy and freedom if we just do it. We'll have problems. Everybody has difficulties. Everybody goes through trials and dark times. I'm not trying to paint a false picture. This is a fallen world. But you'll have joy. You'll have peace. God will be the one that strengthens you and ministers to you. And so he's trying to warn them. They won't. Nope, we're going to do it our way. All right. Then you'll have the consequences. He told them about another portion of scripture. He said, when you're walking in my blessing, he said, one of you will put to flight, you know, 1,000, and five of you will put to flight, whatever. He says, it won't take anything. I'm going to make everybody afraid of you. Notice when they're not walking with him, what will happen? He says, you want to defend yourself? You want to run from me? 1,000, verse 17, 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. And that's you. You'll be fleeing from one. At the threat of five, you shall flee. To your left as a pole on the top of a mountain and as a banner on a hill. You know, you go to the mountains at the very top and you see these trees that are stripped either by fire or by storm or whatever the case might be. He said, that's you. There's not going to be any green on you. You're going to be stripped like a pole just up there by yourself and a bunch of rock. And I've got so much for you if you would just obey me. Therefore, and notice this, you would think, therefore, again, there could be a lot of things. You know, God says, because you're going to do that, I'm going to come right now and wipe you out. But notice God's graciousness. Therefore, because I'm telling you what's going to happen and you're choosing to rebel, the Lord will wait. The Lord will wait. That's a hard thing, isn't it? It's a really hard thing, especially as a mom and dad. Some of you moms and dads, I've talked to moms and dads a lot over the years, and I've got a child that's wayward. I've got a child that's straight or whatever. And you just want to fix it, like now. It oftentimes seems that the moms want to fix it even faster. Not that the dads don't want to, but the moms are like, you know, I'm going there right now, and I'm calling these people, and I'm doing this. There's just a real drive. Why? Because you love your child, and you want to fix it. But you know what? Sometimes you can't. And you know what you have to do? Wait. You wait on the Lord. God says, because you're rebellious, because you won't listen, he didn't say, I'm going to chase you down and make you obey. He said, nope, I'm going to wait because I know the life that you're living is going to become miserable. And I know that you're going to have great consequences. So because you won't listen to reason, I'm going to wait until the consequences become so hard that you're going to go, I've had it. I'm coming home. And you'll come back. This is God's grace. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. Oh, isn't he so good? And therefore, he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. He's like, I'm just going to wait so I can have mercy. My heart's mercy. I'm not going to deal with you right now. Because if I dealt with you right now, it wouldn't be in mercy. So I'm going to wait. And you're going to come back to me with a tender heart and broken. And then I'm going to say, yes, yes, this whole time I've been wanting to do this. Here, and here's some more. He says, what you have, I'll give more. He says, those that rebel, what you have, I'll take away. But those who walk with me, Jesus said, you know what, I'll give you even more. You know, I'll bless you in a greater way. For the Lord is a God of justice. And blessed are those who wait for him. Notice he says, I'm going to wait for you. Then he says, blessed are those who wait for him. Two things I want to point out. Number one, notice he says, you know, we're to wait for him. He's waiting on us, so we need to learn to wait for him. And that's hard to do, isn't it? Especially when we want things to change now. Right? It's the old joke, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Right? But also notice this, he's a God of justice. God is a God of love. And he's a God of mercy and he's a God of grace. But there has to be justice in love. Love can't exist without justice. God has to be a loving God, he has to judge sin. He has no choice. That's why he pleads with us and says, look, I'm going to judge sin. I just don't want it on you when I judge it. Get the sin off of you. I have to judge sin. I have no choice because it's opposed to God. And you've got sin on you because you were born in it and you're living in it. If you will come to me and you put my blood on you, the sin will wash away. And when I judge sin, you won't be judged with it. Remember the death angel passed over in Egypt, a picture of the world, the death angel judging the world, those who put the blood on their home, the death angel passed over. Why? Because they were covered in the blood. It wasn't because they weren't guilty before God and needed to be forgiven. The blood covered them, and so the death angel passed over. The problem is, when the death angel passes over in judgment over mankind, if we're not covered with blood on the home of our heart, the blood of Jesus, and truly receiving him as our sacrifice in our place, looking to him for our hope and all that, the death angel won't pass over. We're going to be judged with it. It's almost like sin itself is what's going to burn. Think of it almost like gasoline. It's like there you are. If somebody pours gas on you and they throw a match, it's not going to be you burning so much as it is the gasoline. Get the sin off of you. Jesus Christ, his blood washes it all away. And so he's a God of justice, and we have to realize that. But we have to understand that it's based out of love and mercy. And we need to learn to wait on him because he waits for us. For people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, the people rather, you shall weep no more. Now he starts giving him encouragement. I notice how the Lord talks about things that he has to do. Yes, I'm a God of judgment, but then he gives these encouragements. You're going to weep no more. There's going to be a day where if you turn to me, he says, he'll be very gracious to you. Not just gracious, very gracious. At the sound of your cry, when he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, sometimes God gives us the bread of adversity and the water of affliction to break us.
You've been listening to Come to the Table, a ministry of Pastor Mark Kirk at Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark is continuing a verse-by-verse study of the book of Isaiah. While this book is full of warnings for the wicked kings of Israel and Judah, it also provides hope by describing the coming of a figure known as Emmanuel. This future ruler is said to come from the line of David and will make right all that has gone wrong in the nation of Israel. You and I know this Emmanuel as the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible teaches us that he's coming back soon to establish a new kingdom on this earth where there will be no more suffering, no more tears, and no more death. The pain and conflict of this world will melt away and be replaced by a new and glorious Jerusalem. Now, if you've recently accepted Jesus' gift of salvation, we'd love to get connected with you and help you get started on your journey of following Christ. You can give us a phone call at 865-609-1385. Once again, that number is 865-609-1385. You can also visit our website at thewaymedia.net. Click on Come to the Table and then click on the Questions and Comments tab. On our website, you'll also find a link to the Way Media app, which is where you can listen to live programming on the go, or you can access past broadcasts from Pastor Mark. Well, we're running out of time for today. We hope that this study in the book of Isaiah has blessed you today. Be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.